third hour of the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show is upon us. Buck here in NYC, Clay down in the Florida Panhandle. Quite lovely, I hear, this time of year. A lot lovelier than New York, where it's freezing, and there are still Democrats in charge, so we got to deal with that. But it is almost Thanksgiving. We're very excited to get a chance to chat with all of you across the country as you get ready for the, for many people, it's definitely a top three holiday, right, I think, or top five. Some people, number one, they're big Thanksgiving folks, and we have much to be thankful for. Despite all the problems, all the challenges Clay and I speak with you about every day, we all have things to be thankful for, and gathering with friends, loved ones, family, that's the way to do it. We, unfortunately, have to deal with the reality of a COVID season that is upon us as well, and I think Fauci is starting to lose his grip over the public's mind. I don't think he's able to just say, listen to me or else. So here he is actually calling out by name a member of the news media. I'm a little sad, Clay. It's not us, but we're working on it. I come up with all
crossed.
Fingers crossed. I call him the little tyrant lab coat smurf. I mean, all the names you hear around there, a lot of them started with the Buckster. But here he is calling out none other than our friend Tucker Carlson. Play six.
I've devoted my entire professional career of 50 years to try and essentially safeguard and preserve the health and the lives of the American people. And as an infectious disease doctor who deals with outbreak, that gets really extended to the rest of the world. That's what I do. The praise or the arrows and slings are really irrelevant. I do what science drives you to do, and that's what I do. And, you know, I'm not in it for a popularity contest. I'm trying to save lives. And the people who weaponize lies are killing people. So the only question I have is that when you show Tucker Carlson and Peter Navarro criticizing me, I consider that a badge of honor.
I consider it a badge of honor that Fauci's too chicken to come on our show and answer. We would ask real questions, and I would want real answers, not let him do the usual. Look what he starts there with. I've devoted my whole life to saving lives all over the world. It's not about the fame. I just have to be on TV every 30 seconds or else I shrivel up like a prune.
I got to give credit, Buck, to Tucker Carlson for taking the slings and arrows, as Dr. Fauci just reflected. I've not heard Tucker say anything inaccurate about COVID. In fact, almost everything, it seems to me, including the Rittenhouse interview this week, Tucker's willing to stand up and say the inconvenient truth in the face of an onslaught from the mainstream media, including Fauci and others.
We'll come back to that and the Fauciite madness this Thanksgiving in a few moments here. We are now joined by our friend James Golden. Many of you know him as Mr. Bo Snerdly. He's got a book out, Rush on the Radio, a tribute from his sidekick for 30 years. James, my friend, good to have you on.
It is so good to be here. Thank you for having me. And you know, it's a little bit bittersweet, though. I'm feeling just a little bit teary and emotional because Thanksgiving, as you know, this was Russia's favorite time of year. And I just remember last year at this very time, Rush was telling all of us that he was comparing himself to the way that Lou Gehrig felt. And he said that he truly understood how Lou Gehrig felt facing a terminal illness and still feeling like he was the luckiest human being on the face of the earth. That was Rush's Thanksgiving message last year, along with profound thanks for this audience, of which you are holding up the legacy. And we're so proud of you for doing that. And so this is, but it's a little bit bittersweet this year as we remember that Thanksgiving story that Rush told us, the true Thanksgiving story, which was, of course, a clash between socialism and what eventually won capitalism in this country and individual achievement. So what a time of year. What a time of year. And, of course, the beginning of the Christmas season, which was just so special for Rush and for all of us.
James, we appreciate you coming on with us and sharing, to your point, what is such a bittersweet moment for many of the people listening here who have for decades experienced Thanksgiving with Rush and they don't have him for this first Thanksgiving. And we're very honored to have you here. I'm assuming you have seen the Wall Street Journal under siege for publishing their Thanksgiving homily, basically, from the 1600s that they've been publishing for decades to signify the importance of Thanksgiving. How do you think Rush would have responded to the Wall Street Journal standing up to people trying to cancel their editorial? And how pleased would he be with what they wrote in response to those who would cancel them?
I think that he would be very happy to see the Wall Street Journal taking a stand, especially when so many others on that we wouldn't expect cave in to this progressive madness that is sweeping across the nation that tries to rid us of our history and our traditions. You know, Rush was, in many ways, the first attempt for the progressives and the liberals in this country to try to begin their cancel culture war. It didn't work with Rush. And certainly with the Wall Street Journal today, with this attempt, and you know what? The Wall Street Journal is not the only ones coming under attack for celebrating Thanksgiving. You can see across other outlets in the mainstream media today, very sly in some cases, or in other cases, very outright and hostile attacks on the Thanksgiving tradition as not being inclusive enough in our history. Look, we Americans, and Rush was so about this, being proud of America, being optimistic that our best days are still ahead of us, being, yes, we're aware of the things that happened in our past, but we're also, Rush was also the eternal optimist about the good and great nature of the American people and how we've overcome the things in our past to become a great nation. And we are still filled with the optimism that is greater a superpower as we are today. America's best days are still ahead of us.
We're speaking to James. Oh, sorry, James. We're speaking to James Golden, formerly known as Bo Snerdly by many of you. He's got a book out, Rush on the Radio, a tribute from his sidekick for 30 years. I mean, as we're going into the holiday tomorrow, James, people will be looking for things to read, of course, and a lot of them want to know your thoughts both on what Thanksgiving meant to Rush, you, and the whole team, and what was the mood like in the studio on days where you were getting ready for Thanksgiving when Rush was at the helm?
Well, we always look forward to the last hour of the show because no matter what the news of the day was, we knew that Rush was going to read again the true story of Thanksgiving, and it never got old and it never got tired. And we are, and that tradition, thankfully, is continuing. Thank you. The tradition that Rush started in this country, and now you're starting to see more and more people aware of the story. We cannot also, by the way, for parents with young children, the book series that Rush and Catherine wrote on American history from the first pilgrims and their journey here to this nation all the way through the five book series. What a wonderful Christmas gift that is for parents of young children who want to teach their children the true nature of American history and put in context this great country that we are so blessed to live in.
There's no doubt, James. And by the way, for everybody out there who is going to be listening to the show tomorrow, we will be playing much of that from Rush on Thanksgiving. You will hear his voice for those of you who are out there traveling or going to your own Thanksgivings. James, where will you be spending Thanksgiving and what will you be most thankful for yourself as you enter into the holiday season?
You know, this year, my nephew, his wife, and their infants, we just celebrated his third birthday 2 days ago, and their son came out. And they came out, they said, so that they could put some loving on their uncle. And I am so happy to be able to spend time with family this year. This was a devastating year for me, not just losing Rush. My mom passed away 3 days after Rush. It has been a devastating year, and the losses have just been really just searingly painful. But I am so grateful now, looking back on it, we had 33 years of Rush on the air. We have 33 years of wonderful memories, of laughter, of his insights that only he could give, of his political wisdom, of his irreverent humor. And it is so a blessing to now look back over this incredible career that Rush Limbaugh had. So I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for all the friends that I've met along the way. Buck, you know, you and I worked together. You were one of the people that sat in that chair when Rush was away. And it's so many great and wonderful people that I've had a chance to meet and interact with. I'm so grateful for that across the 30 years that I spent with Rush Limbaugh, and the people that are still with you and the people that were part of our EIB family. So happy about that. It is just, it is still one of the most wonderful times of the year, even though there's a big hole in my heart that I don't think will ever be filled because Rush isn't here.
James, we really appreciate you joining us and sharing your memory, of course, of the man himself, Rush, and your experiences with him on Thanksgiving. And also, many times I spent holidays with you when Rush was out taking much-deserved vacation with you and Mike and the rest of the team here in Alley in New York City. So some memory lane stuff there, too. James Golden, everybody, check out his book. And James, we really appreciate you being with us today. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. Happy Thanksgiving and happy Thanksgiving. And thank you for keeping the legacy alive, guys.
Thank you, James.
We want to tell you about tomorrow being a day of thanks. And we hope all of you can be in the company of family and friends tomorrow as well, able to appreciate, as James was just talking about, how important your family and friends can be to you. There's likely to be pictures taken, videos taken, and today we do that with the ease from our cell phones. Those have become our cameras. But a couple of decades ago, we used video camcorders, expensive 35mm cameras, no more. But what happened to all of those great pictures and videotapes? If you're like most families, those videotapes and film, they're stored away in boxes somewhere. The memories of Thanksgiving days past are too valuable to even think of throwing them away. But how do you watch them again? Legacy Box is the answer. This is the company that takes every videotape, every family film, every old cassette, and digitizes it in a way you can see all those memories again. They ship you a box, a specially made box, and you fill it full of your tapes and film, all of your memories, and then they digitally transfer all of those items that matter so much to you and your family by hand and return to them with you with a digital file thumb drive that makes it instantly possible for you to see and share again with these incredible memories forever. And right now, Buck, they've got an incredible offer for everybody out there.
It's really the best deal of the year during their Black Friday event. Visit LegacyBox.com to save 65%. With limited quantities ready to ship, this deal will go fast. That's LegacyBox.com/Buck for 65% off. Again, LegacyBox.com/Buck.
How's our driving? Call and let us know at 1-800-282-2882. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in. I appreciate all of you hanging out with us. Our thanks to James Golden. Want to reemphasize for you all out there that we will have many of the best moments from Rush's Thanksgiving tomorrow as a part of the Best of Clay Travis and Buck Sexton show. We, as always, are honored to be sitting in front of a couple of golden microphones. We appreciate all of you. We are thankful for all of you and the support that you have given us. We are coming up on a half year doing this show. We are having a great deal of fun. We hope we're also educating, entertaining, and continuing to fight the battles that matter so much to Rush and that so many of you have spent decades devoting during this time frame. We thank you, both Buck and I do, and our families thank you as well. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to stop ridiculing all of the stupidity that is going on surrounding this year's Thanksgiving. We paid you NBC news reporting, hey, maybe you need a bouncer at the door because inflation costs are up in order to get some of the money to be able to cover the increased cost of a Thanksgiving meal. How about CBS this morning? I want to play this for you guys. CBS this morning said, hey, maybe you should be doing COVID tests in your garage before your Thanksgiving meals. This is the insanity we are dealing with. Listen to CBS this morning.
Might be a difficult conversation before people step into your house to say, whoa, wait a minute, where's your card? What's your status? Yep. Before you walk into my home.
This is tough because people are all over the map on this, and they're also all over the map with their risk tolerance. But the rapid tests have made this a lot easier.
Right.
Because whatever people's vaccination status is, we can actually confirm safety on the spot. So if it feels like it's going to be weird, maybe make it kind of fun. Say we're going to start with hors d'oeuvres in the garage. You know, we'll have drinks. We'll do our rapid test and then come on in, right? You can make it playful, make it fun, and then be able to enjoy the holiday because you're not worried about safety.
It's playful and fun, like the guy running a Soviet gulag showing you your cell is playful and fun. Give me a break. You know, in New York City, Clay, there are that school kids, for safety reasons, are told to eat their lunch in the public school system here outside sitting on the concrete. It's 37 degrees outside right now, freezing their little buns off because adults are lunatics who cannot think for themselves. And this is what I want to tell. We were trying to solve problems. If you have that relative who shows up and is going to do the mask up between bites thing, you triple mask and you throw on some goggles. And when your relative doesn't have their double mask on, you say, how can you pretend to take the virus seriously with only one layer of cloth over your mouth inside at this table, sir? How dare you?
Can you imagine showing up for Thanksgiving dinner, Buck, and having to take a COVID test in order to eat Thanksgiving? Or to eat outdoors in the frigid cold, as some people are going to do? If you are elderly and you are worried, get your booster shots. We've said this. Get your COVID vaccine, as 99% of people who are 65 and up have. But at some point in time, when are you going to return to normalcy? I'm not a grandparent, right? But I can't imagine isolating myself for 2 years from my grandkids in order. I hate to say it. I know it's Thanksgiving. So far as I know, Buck,
We're all going to die. Yep.
And so at some point, risk is a function of living your life. You're under danger everything we do all day long.
We talk about the numbers. It's not even about numbers, people anymore. But Clay, can we just play out what this CBS discussion that they're having is all about? Like, your Uncle Phil shows up. You're like, Phil, haven't seen you all year, buddy. Great to be here. Just stick this up your nose for a second. All right. What if it's positive? Then you're going to be telling Phil, hey,
everybody's going to die, I guess. I don't know. You got to kick him out. I mean, what if it's a false positive and your uncle or your aunt or your grandma or your grandpa don't get to hang out with anybody?
If he's asymptomatic and everyone's vaccinated, no soup for you, apparently. You're sent down into the cold,
and
I guess.
And by the way, you don't care about the flu. You don't care about a cold. You don't care about any other communicable disease, which has been spread since time immemorial, since Squanto. Was it Squanto? Squanto and the other Indians and the Bradfords and everybody got together. They were probably spreading some diseases at the first Thanksgiving, because you know what? They're humans, and that's what humans do. What you got for us, Buck?
You're already spending too much money on gas, food, and college for the kids. Don't overpay for cell service. Pure Talk is on the exact same 5G network, using the exact same towers as one of those big carriers, but for a heck of a lot less. In fact, Pure Talk saves the average family over $800, and switching is so easy. You can keep your number and your phone, or save on brand new iPhones or Androids. We're customers, Clay and I. You should be too. Listen to this offer. Unlimited talk, text, and 6 gigs of data on Pure Talk's 5G network, just $30 a month. And Pure Talk has a 30-day risk-free guarantee. You got nothing to lose. From your cell phone right now, dial #250 and say Pure Talk. You'll save 50% off your first month and save on a new phone. That's dial #250 from your phone. Say Pure Talk. Some restrictions apply. Call for details.
On the EIB Network.
Welcome back into the Clay Travis and Buck Sexton Show, everyone. We got Thanksgiving tomorrow. Just got a little more time with you here on the air today. I will be in manning the EIB solo, hopefully not taking it any stormy waters without my man Clay, who's going to be on vacation on Friday. But we'll be having some fun with you Friday, so please do. It'll be a live show on Friday, 12 to 3 Eastern, and I'll be here talking about all that. Certainly, all of us will be recovering, I assume, from the Thanksgiving feast. And Clay, you know, I tried to look it up in the break, what the best, because there's always the what's the best Christmas movie, right? People get into what is the best Christmas movie. And then, of course, someone goes, oh, Die Hard is or is not. And we get into Die Hard. It's very straightforward. It takes place on Christmas as a Christmas movie. But there's even some Santa references. Regardless, we don't have to get into the Die Hard as a Christmas movie thing because it's Thanksgiving we're talking about here. But other than a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving, can you even think of a Thanksgiving-based movie off the top of your head? I had to look it up.
That's a great question. You know, because I've been sitting around with the boys, you know, and we're like, hey, let's watch kind of some holiday-ish movies. And I actually asked them this question because they're better at searching Netflix than I am, even though they're way younger than I am. You know, they can zoom through and find everything. And so as a result, Buck, we couldn't really find anything Thanksgiving. Now, we watched a couple of Christmas movies already, and my boys love The Floor is Lava, which is like, have you ever heard of The Floor is Lava?
No.
This is something that I think a lot of parents know. It's like basically a game show where you're trying to avoid falling into lava, in quotation marks, which is just a, you know, sort of orange water, but it's like you're trying to make your way across a room. And my young boys, every now and then before this show would happen, we would always be playing like, oh, the floor's lava, Dad. You got to get up on, you know, like chairs or whatever else in the room. And then we watch Nailed It, which is like a cooking show. We've watched hours and hours of that because I've been down with them for the holidays, but I can't even think of a good Thanksgiving. It's a great point. I mean, there's the Charlie Brown, you know, like old school, but I can't even think of a good one.
I got a surprise one for you. Hoo-ah! Scent of a Woman is considered a Thanksgiving movie. I only remember the I take a flamethrower to this place line. I saw the movie. It was 1992. Al Pacino and Chris O'Donnell, who was having a big run in the 90s, and then he played Robin in one of the really bad Batman and Robin movies.
Oh, yeah,
and
that I remember.
Was not.
And he vanished. Where did he go? He doesn't even act anymore.
I think he's on like NCIS Tuscaloosa or something. Like he's on one of the, you know, one of the variants of the NCIS show. But, yeah, the Scent of a Woman is among the most famous. Planes, Trains, and Automobiles.
Okay.
Which the crew in here in NYC is getting psyched about. John Candy among it. And Steve Martin, two comedy, 80s comedy powerhouses. And then a movie that I have, let me see. There was one that I had never really heard of, but apparently it's a big one. Oh yeah, The Ice Storm. Do you know The Ice Storm?
Don't know that one.
Thanksgiving movie.
Is Meet the Parents Christmas? By the way, is that like a Christmas Meet the Parents? I can't remember if I was thinking there might be a Thanksgiving component to Meet the Parents, which was an absolutely hysterical.
Could be,
comedy.
But you would think, given just the ripe ground for dialogue and comedic interplay of actors sitting around a table. I think about Thanksgivings rather, growing up, we would often go to, I have cousins that actually, like a lot of people live in, you know, in the burbs, they have a house. I was a New Yorker. I grew up in an apartment. I lived in apartments my whole life. And, they lived
still
in
do.
I still do. 600 square feet, Travis. We have a very comfy couch, my friend, that not quite a pullout, but you can lay flat on the Sexton couch. So when you're in New York, you don't need some fancy hotel. The Buxton's got you covered.
I don't even like New York hotels because I'm not rich enough to stay in hotels typically that have like decent sized New York rooms. I don't even like some of these, like I feel like I'm in a closet when I stay in a hotel, in a New York City hotel oftentimes. I don't like being in apartments. My first year ever living off the ground floor was when I was in college in Washington, D.C. I didn't even really like that. I was in a tiny little dorm room. I'm a on the ground with my own plot of land around me guy. I don't think I'd be comfortable in New York City.
But I remember even when I was a young kid going to the big suburban house with all the and my family, we would have occasionally like random priests would be invited too. So we'd have, you know, Father so-and-so who'd be sitting at the table there. And there's, I got a lot of cousins and everything else. There were 15, 20, 30 people, whatever it was, all gathered together. And I do remember even as a young kid hearing that it would all start out with, how's everyone's family? And then you get 2 hours into it. The red wine's been flowing a little bit. It's like, he's the worst mayor in the history of America. You know, it always happens. It always happens.
Did you guys play sports? Like, did you play football outside?
We used
like,
to throw football around and mostly basketball, actually. My cousins had a basketball, like, court, you know, blacktop with a hoop
my
in their
boys
backyard.
My boys are obsessed, and it's been fun as a dad, the family football game, although I'm getting older, and I was throwing, like when I finish the show today, I'm going to be throwing football around with my boys. But the number of injuries that occur in a family football game, you got dad, uncle, grandpa, some moms and aunts and everything else. A lot of people not that loose and limber as they used to be. And all of a sudden you try to run fast. And by fast, I mean faster than you ever run otherwise. Those hammies go out in a hurry. Hammies. Lots of injuries.
Those hammies get real tight from sitting around all day. From all the time on the PS4
or
the radio.
Lots of food.
Yeah, it's everybody, listen. Important safety tip from Clay Travis and Buck Sexton, okay? Stretch out those hammies before you go for the long bomb in the end zone that your nephew is trying out for varsity this year is going to throw to you. Don't just take off. Some of you are 25 listening to this, but most of you are no longer 25 or 15 for that matter. Do you remember when you could just go out and play sports in a jacket and tie and you weren't even like sweaty afterwards?
Yes.
Now I'm like, oh gosh, I need to stretch.
Also,
I need some talcum powder.
You also used to be able to make fun of people who were like stretching, right? When you're young, the idea that you need to like get loose or limber or stretch at all, you just start going like my kids play football all day long every day. They're playing right now with other kids in the neighborhood where we are in Florida. The idea that any of them would ever limber up or anything, but my 11-year-old wanted to race me, yesterday. And I was like, I don't really know that I want to race. Because he's getting a lot faster and I'm afraid he's going to beat me sometime. But I beat him by like a small
you
got to
beat
amount.
Him, Travis. The world is a tough, cold, cruel place. You got to show him that it's not easy.
I beat him, but I had to give a little kick at the end and he was like, Dad, can we run again? And I was like, Dad does one race a day.
Yeah.
One race a day. Like, you, that's it. I'm not running multiple sprints here and tearing my hamstring off the bone.
Anyone have any fun Thanksgiving traditions or anything they want to throw in the mix here? If they've got a special dish that they like to make that they think everybody should consider part of their... We didn't even get Jesse, who right now, the turkey piranhas are feasting on him after
his turkey commentary,
our friend Jesse Kelly. I should have reached out to him. Matt Walsh on Twitter took the opposite. Matt Walsh of the Daily Wire took the opposite position that turkey, if he were... the emperor of America, turkey would be mandated as a tradition at all Thanksgiving tables. So we've got some conservative heavyweights really throwing down over the preferred poultry for America's Day of Thanks.
There's no doubt. We'll come back, close out the show, get you guys all ready for your Thanksgiving. Buck will be back on Friday. We'll play a lot of best of, and we'll also be incorporating much of Rush for those of you out there who has missed his Thanksgiving special. Our thanks to James Golden, Boats Nerdly, who joined us to start this hour. Encourage you to download the podcast. Make sure you don't miss a minute there. In the meantime, Tunnel to Towers, making the holidays brighter for our nation's Gold Star and fallen first responder families with young kids and seriously injured veterans and first responders. For many of these families, the holidays are a tough reminder of the sacrifice their hero made for all of us. That's why the foundation's giving away a home a day starting tomorrow on Thanksgiving through New Year's Eve, during its season of hope. With each mortgage-free home, the foundation's delivering on its promise to do good and never forget. For some of these families, they have the comfort of knowing they can stay in the home they picked with their loved one, the home where they made precious holiday memories. For families in a new home, they're creating memories they'll cherish forever. Buck, how can you help with this great cause?
All of this is possible, folks, because of your generosity. Support America's greatest heroes and their families. Donate $11 a month to Tunnel to Towers at T2T.org. That's T, the number 2T.org.
I'll tell you what, it's a cutting edge. This is what I tell you. And the cutting edge is societal evolution if you listen to this program.
Still relevant to this very day. Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.
Welcome back in, Clay Travis, Buck Sexton Show. We are thankful for all of you here as we finish the final segment before Thanksgiving tomorrow. I want to say I hope all of you and your loved ones get to wherever you may be going for Thanksgiving safely. I hope you have a tremendous time. We'll be talking a lot about Thanksgiving with a lot of the best clips from Rush tomorrow. Buck will be in on Friday doing a live show. Appreciate him being there. I will be in Auburn, Alabama, finishing the final campus stop. Buck, I'm ready to be back home for a little while. I'll be at the Alabama-Auburn game in Auburn, Alabama. You can come find me there. And we'll be back and ready to roll with all of you.
So if anybody has any issues with a family member who's a pro-Fauci masker, when they put on their third mask, and you really want to go triple layer, folks, you know, like triple canopy foliage, you want to go triple layer on that mask to
maybe
show
hazmat,
that costume,
anxiety-filled
relative, exactly what the issue is. You know, show them who the real takes the virus seriously Fauciite is. You got any issues with that, you can call me on Friday on the show. We'll talk through it. You know, and if somebody decides, if, you know, if they meet your, or if they see your auntie or your raise, I don't know, I don't play cards. What is it? What is, you know, if they meet you at the thing you're doing, I don't know, whatever the Pope, you're going to leave me hanging. You're going to leave me in the trenches taking grenades.
You got me all
Travis?
Crossed over. We're not a card family. Like, yeah. I don't know what.
Would you
I
like
play
the World
football.
Series of Poker with all the fancy famous people?
Oh, it hasn't even aired yet. I got to play in the World Series, the Poker Challenge, Poker Stars Challenge. It's going to air on television at some point. Yeah. I don't know when that airs. But yeah, look, I will tell you this. This is actually a pretty funny Thanksgiving story. For people who can get in trouble, Buck, this is what happened to me. I was dating my wife, been married 17 years now. And I went to her house for Thanksgiving. My nephew was probably 5 years old. And if you've ever been out in the backyard, you were talking about playing basketball, Buck, you know, family Thanksgiving.
I had some moves, by the way. I don't doubt it.
But we're in the backyard. We're in the backyard. And my five-year-old, like, again, he's my nephew. I'm not married yet to my wife. One of the first Thanksgivings I have spent with her family outside of Detroit in Oakland County up in Michigan. Got a lot of listeners up there. Appreciate all y'all. And so he says, like a lot of kids do, hey, can I make some money by making shots, right? You know, every now and then you're like, hey, if you make that shot, I'll give you 50 cents, a dollar, whatever. Can you make free throws? So we're playing. And I say, okay, we'll do that. And then we get to the end and he says, I want to be able to get $20. I mean, he's got $10 that I've given him over the course of probably an hour and a half out yard. I said, okay, here's what we're going to do. We'll do double or nothing. I'm going to walk all the way to this end. I mean, it's like a half court shot at least. And I said, hey, if I make this shot, then you get 20. If I miss this shot, you get $20. But if I make it, you lose the 10 that you have right now. Virtually no chance that I'm going to make this shot. I'm trying to give him $20. I line it up and I absolutely drain it. The kid immediately erupts in tears. My nephew, he's 5 years old. He wasn't my nephew yet. Runs inside crying like crazy because I have taken, he said, $10 from him gambling. I'm not married yet, Buck. This is the first time I've ever met
this
family.
You're seeing that engagement get distanced.
Oh, yeah. My girlfriend then, now my wife, furious at me, comes outside, says he is crying. His mom is furious. Everybody is in an uproar in this house over you taking $10 from this five-year-old. I said, look, it was double or nothing. You got this shot that I hit was really incredible. She picks up the basketball, throws it at me. All right. Goes back inside. I'm now outside by myself at my soon to be in-laws in the future, not engaged, not married. My father-in-law comes outside. He thinks it's hysterical. He's like the whole house. I'm not kidding. Is in an uproar. I mean, there is like pandemonium inside over me taking this $10. And he walks out and he just says, you know, if you really needed $10, you could have just asked me. I would have loaned it to you. And so I go inside and they're like, hey, what kind of lesson are you trying to teach this kid? And I said, well, you know, I mean, if you bet double or nothing and, you know, you lose like that, I'm not just going to give you $20. I mean, it was an incredible shot that I hit. So the lesson here is if you are betting with young children for Thanksgiving, stick to your guns, but also be aware that pandemonium can ensue if you
maybe
manage
have
it.
The stakes be like red and green M&Ms, Travis. You know what I'm saying? Well, not taking the lunch money from the youth.
It was my money that he risked, and he lost it, and I'm sorry. And by the way, His
by the way,
his
this is
mom,
like the, this is like Clay Travis entrepreneur stories, like the way, you know, Carnegie when he was a kid used to, like, you know, or was it Rockefeller used to sell candy to the other kids, you know, get it wholesale and sell it retail.
I don't know if the kid has ever gambled. So the lesson here can be, if you take money from kids at a young age, you can teach them the dangers of being involved in sports gambling. And that's what I did.
Was this a skyhook? You strike me as a skyhook guy.
No. This, I mean, it was so far away. I mean, it was like, you know, like, I mean, it, a half court shot, you got to get a lot of the body into it. It was more of almost like a chest pass than a traditional shot in order to get it. I mean, it was a phenomenal shot. I don't want to brag or draw attention to myself. It's probably the greatest shot that's ever been hit at my father-in-law's backyard.
Clearly worth $20. Or
it was worth $20. I mean, it was, I, the chances of me hitting this, a great bet the kid make. The chances of me making it probably, you know, at best 1 in 30, 1 in 40. I mean, this is a long shot, past half court, and I hadn't even attempted it, drained it. I mean, I was pretty impressed with myself, and, you know, frankly, I won $20 on it.
There we go, everybody. See? It's a Thanksgiving miracle, courtesy of Clay Travis. So we're really looking forward to joining you all. Well, Clay's going to be on Friday. I'll be here Friday, but we'll be back with you on Monday. In the meantime, I just want to say you can discount all of our overly strong opinions on things like rolls and turkey and eat whatever you like. Of course, have a fantastic Thanksgiving. It's not even really, now we're getting in the Christmas spirit, but for Thanksgiving, it's not really about the food. It's about the company and about feeling thankful.
That's so sweet.
I know. Warming, what is it? What does he say in Groundhog Day? Warming our hearts and hearts.
Punxsutawney
Phil. Great movie, too. We had some other people. Dutch with Ed O'Neill. Scott from California called him with that one. And Kate in Knoxville, Tennessee said The Accidental Tourist, our Thanksgiving movie. So people want Thanksgiving. I don't even know what those are about, but if they want Thanksgiving movies, there you go.
It's funny she mentions The Accidental Tourist. My mom and dad took me when I was a kid to go see The Accidental Tourist. I was like 8. It was the worst decision they ever made. It's like a super adult movie. I think about like kids dying and Thanksgiving. Anyway, it's probably the worst movie they've ever taken me to. They still regret it. I will say this, from the bottom of our hearts in all seriousness, not to get too sappy on you, but we really appreciate getting to spend Thanksgiving with you guys. We know how much many of you miss Rush, and we desperately thank you for being such a big part of our families already.
You guys are our extended radio family all across the country. Hopefully, you're going to really have some time to reflect, relax, kick back, watch some sports, eat some great food. I'm back with you Friday. Clay and I are back with you Monday. Rush memories tomorrow on the air. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
You're listening to Clay Travis and Buck Sexton on the EIB Network.